Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Don't try to cut me off, Fake Dan. I was singing one of the best duets of all time between Dolly Parton and goddamn Kenny Rogers, Islands in the Stream. And he thought that starting the show was more important than that. I reject that entirely.
I do too. And Dan, I'd like to give you the opportunity to sing your song as you were doing, since the audience did not get to hear
it. No, I'm already out of the mood. It's too late for that.
What?
I said it's too late for that. I'm out of the mood now.
What? You're fine. No. You're fine to sing Islands in the Stream. Was it meant as a duet? Sure. I'll be Dolly if you want.
You are Dolly. In our relationship, I'm definitely Kenny Rogers.
I mean,
look at this fucking beard. Come on.
I know. I was watching a game show with my child last night called Guess Who the People Are or something like that. They all come up and they say that they're one profession, right? I'm an astronaut, or I was a race car driver. I did lipstick art, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have to guess whether or not the person is the actual person, and who are the other two liars on that show.
It's called To Tell the Truth, and it's been around since the 1970s, I think.
Correct. So with the pandemic and everything that happened in Hollywood, everybody is switching over to game shows. Mm-hmm. There is essentially no more scripted shows. There is a ton of game shows. All I kept thinking last night was Dan would be amazing on this one. Two, one of the people on there last night was one of Dolly Parton's relatives. Mm. And you had to guess which one was the relative last night. And I was incorrect in that assessment.
So it's not just famous people, it's just weird shit then.
Anything across the board, man. So again, the first one was like lipstick art. But I think you'd be good at this because you get to ask them questions and then determine if they're liars or not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would be good as a contestant or as somebody trying to figure out who the real person is. Or I say a contestant is the person trying to figure out the real person, or a panelist, one of the people lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess it depends on what it was, though, right? Like, I probably wouldn't be able to convince people that I'm some kind of pussy or something.
A liberal?
Yeah. Well, I could do that.
People ask, okay.
I could definitely do that.
Hey, are you a liberal?
No, actually, there might be too much stank on it. I might be so sarcastic that they pick up on that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, basically, I just sit around eating granola and sucking my own dick all day.
Well, the funny part about it is you're allowed to do that, too. And one of the guys who tricked me did that, was just like, yeah, I did this and I didn't do that and blah, blah, blah. And he was super aggressive. And I was like, oh, well, that's got to be the guy. Nobody be that aggressive about being Dolly Parton's brother. Mm-hmm. Turned out he was a liar.
Well, we're all liars, yeah. Ross. We're all lying about something.
Maybe we are. Maybe we aren't.
Can you ladies knock it off with the fucking filters? Come on, man. Nobody believes that shit anymore. It's like when it first started, like, oh, damn, that girl was pretty fucking big. Now it's just like nobody believes you really look like that. So what's the point? It's only for you. Why are you doing that? Why are we turning glamour shots into the only images available for people? You think, yeah, life is all about managing expectations. You understand? You're never going to be happy like this. You're never going to be happy where you feel like you've got to live up to this expectation. And the dude's certainly not going to be happy when he shows up and finds that you don't look anything like the image you sent him. So, you know, let's just get back to reality a little bit.
I know what you're talking about eliminating here. I've got a new feed on my Instagram. Do you have it as well? When you open it up, it's like other people that are recommended to you.
Yeah, that's always been there, right? The Explore feed.
Yeah, but typically it's like it used to be like friends or somebody you work with or some of your interests or hobbies.
Yeah,
it is no longer that. Like, I just pulled up mine, for example, and like it was exactly what you said. I'm just going to hold it up to camera here. Oh, Papa Giorgio, can you see that or no?
I see a lady.
It's a little washed out, yeah.
All right. Well, it is definitely some airbrushed blonde girl who I've never heard of, never seen, suddenly suggested to me. She's going by the Barbie blank, and she's got a thing. Ah, she was in the WWE at some point.
Mm.
So, maybe they're connecting that back to guests that were on the show. not real sure, but it's getting creepy. But we got to stop with the airbrush. We know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I understand it for the odd portrait here and there, because that's what it was intended for, right? To be a piece of artwork. But when you're going on Instagram Live and shit every day, and that's the fucking face, like, come on, man.
Yeah. Come on.
Nobody fucking believes that shit. Why do it? Why? And you're kind of asking me, like, I'm a dick for saying something about it, right? I guess. But really, but you're a dick for asking me to participate in your fucking delusion, okay? You're a dick, not me. I mean, I'm a dick too, for sure, but you're also a dick, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I've had buddies from high school hit me up, and they're like, oh, man, check out this girl on fucking Instagram. And I was like, you know, I've met that girl in real life. She looks nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like zero.
Yeah, and to like be honest, it's a problem. It's not even just about the fake image. It's about what it represents. There's this underlying but pervasive belief, particularly in Western culture, that like a perfect physical form is something to attain. That is fucking stupid. What really matters, if anybody that's ever been in any kind of good relationship, whether it's just a friendship or romantically or whatever it is, even with your parents when you're a child or your coaches or whatever the fuck, or a teacher, the thing that really makes that relationship special are the individual characteristics of it, right? Like, I have this bond with this person, and that's what makes that friendship or relationship so great. And nobody else could ever replicate it, and that's what makes it so unique. And in the same way, there's a lot of fucking pretty blonde women out there. But if one, only one that I know, has a little fucking blemish, like a birthmark or something right here on her face, right? Or her jaw might be slightly misangled or some shit like that. Who the fuck knows what it is? Then I know that's my person right there. You know what I mean? And that's what makes it unique. That is what people are looking for. And the less authentic you become, the less people fucking value the beauty you have. You understand? You're fucking yourself over, is what I'm telling you.
I think so too, but there's a lot of people who don't. I don't know how we got into this today, but I'm glad we did. It's always a fun Wednesday when you're getting into girls pretending to be hot on Instagram.
Yeah.
But you and I both have friends that purely go on like the most beautiful specimens. They really don't give a shit if they have to talk to them in real life.
Right. It's not, I mean, you don't hear a lot of fucking dudes sit around talking about the Kardashians. It's women, right? It's the same thing with back in the day in the 90s. This started to become an issue, I guess, if you want to call it that, where there was this this level, this standard of beauty that's unreasonable expectation by magazines, by men who write women's mag. Like, no, dude. Men aren't paying attention to any of that shit. I promise you that. They don't give two fucks about that, and they're not affected by it. Women are the reasons the Kardashians are billionaires, not men. All right? So look at yourselves, ladies. You're the ones that did that. And you could say, oh, there's all this societal pressure to do this. Only because you allow it. Only because you allow that shit. And then you fucking start to go get your forehead filled with oil and shit like that. Like, get fucked with that stuff.
Yeah.
Not that you shouldn't do it. By the way, if you want to fucking get lip fillers and oil, like injections and stuff like that, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. If it makes you feel attractive, then that's great, because there's nothing hotter than a woman who knows she's hot, frankly, in my opinion. That's real sexy to me. So... do it if you want, but don't try to fucking lay the blame at my feet ever. Cause I'm telling you right now, we don't give a shit about that. Men will fucking take anything you can throw at them, physically speaking. You know what I mean?
And I, and again, half a jaw.
Yeah. And again, I don't think it's even that. It's not just about how, you know, it's not just about what men value. It has nothing to do with that. It's about what human beings value, and people value authentic experiences with people over time, particularly long-lasting ones. And you don't get that from fucking, oh, look at me on my fucking Instagram Live and how perfect my skin. Your skin's not perfect. And if it was, I would be very suspicious of you drinking baby blood and shit like that, or whatever people do. I don't know what people
do. Maybe we should have like a Drinking Bros natural beauty contest where you just post a picture, no makeup, and then we'll put it up on the gram and then see who wins.
No.
See what shakes out on there.
Just make sure you take all the pictures during golden hour. I mean, you can let nature help you. Just don't let the machines help you.
Yeah, well, if you're going to have a machine help you, you know, you might as well get your picture taken in a Tesla. And that way it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, I date a girl with a Tesla. I don't have to pay for $5.58 gas. Awesome. Speaking of which, Tesla is now going to allow Bitcoin users to buy a car in Bitcoin. I feel dumb now. I feel dumb about the whole Bitcoin thing.
What do you mean dumb? That you didn't get in earlier?
That I didn't get in at all. That I didn't understand it. That I thought it was fake. I still kind of don't understand it. I'd love to get Richard Ryan on this show because...
Yeah, yeah, we'll get him on sometime.
It's to the point now where, like, if I'm around in the afternoon, I'll have, like, CNBC on in the background just to see, like, you know, the stonks and see how things are going and all that stuff. It's to the point now where Bitcoin is taking over the bottom right-hand corner, and they're just updating that all day long as if it's Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Go ahead.
George, where are we at on that price-wise? Where is Bitcoin right now? Or Hot Bob?
Yeah, it's...
It was hovering around 60,000.
55,346.
Yeah.
$55,000. Okay. Man, I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, look, we've changed currencies a number of times, right? When, for example, when the check came out, right? Like the check.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is this piece of paper? This doesn't have a dead slave owner on it. I can't use this to buy shit. What is this?
Yeah.
And now, then we went to the debit card, right? Or the credit card before the debit card, right? The credit card was just like for businesses mostly, and then people who used it for whatever, and then it kind of integrated its way into more of society. And now, when I see somebody paying cash for something, I want to have a fucking rage stroke. Unless it's a cash only business, that makes sense. But if you're like, I was at the airport yesterday or 2 days ago. In line, there's like a whole shitload of fucking people in line. And this one woman is paying for gum, for a $3 pack of gum with cash. And I'm like, you should lose your citizenship for this. You should be deported right now. She was white, by the way. You should be deported right now. Just get the fuck out forever. You don't deserve to live in a country like this if you're still using cash. That's how visceral my reaction was. So I can imagine in a few years, it's just all going to be fucking thumbprints in Bitcoin. And we're going to be like, what kind of asshole's carrying a card around in his pocket now? You know what I mean? That's what I love about American culture. We'll tear somebody to pieces for doing something that we just stopped doing 15 minutes ago. Like, what do you mean you're still fucking doing that, you stupid fuck? Like, well, you just kind of figure that out your own self, brother.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, a good friend of ours, Dan, bought an entire office here in Wilmington, North Carolina, a couple years ago in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It was like $160,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought it in Bitcoin. The guy took it, and then that was their transaction. I don't know how to do that with, like, normal things in life. I can't go to McDonald's and buy my kid a Happy Meal in Bitcoin today. Therefore, well, that type of shit worries me.
I mean, it's I guess that's a matter of how much Bitcoin would a cheeseburger be, really? You know what I mean?
Well, isn't
it? What's a Happy Meal? Like fucking $3, $4, something like that? $4?
Yeah, $4. Yeah. $3.99. Yeah.
So it's $4. So that would be, hold on, let's see how much Bitcoin that would be.
And the reason I ask here with all of this is, like, if this starts to get integrated into convenience stores, restaurants, hotels, flights, all that other stuff, I'll be forced to get in, obviously, but will we all be too late? And then how does that work out? Like, will the price be over 100,000?
No, I mean, look, trading on currency is always going to be a thing for sure. But the idea of just trading on as Bitcoin being something that you just trade on is not going to persist. You know what I mean? It'll eventually become a currency. And we'll think of it the same way we think of the dollar. Like, you don't think of the $100 in cash in your pocket is something that you're trading on. You know what I mean? You think of it as currency to pay for shit with, and that's the transition it'll make. By the way, that's Happy Meal would be about tenth. Who is breathing into a fucking microphone?
My bad.
God damn, you mouth-breathing son of a bitch.
You mouth-breathing motherfucker.
It's like
dude.
Me with my fucking beard. Luckily, this pop filter doesn't do it, but the one over there does. Every time I move my beard across, I think it's like... Just like nails on a chalkboard. Let's see.
I'm concerned for Rob's health. He breathes like this heavy all the time.
I just get excited.
He does nothing, and he still breathes this heavy.
He's excited on the inside, I think, because it's almost baseball season.
It is. I was going to say the half penny went out of circulation in the United States in 1857 and in Great Britain in the 80s.
Yeah.
So...
And then Canada's got loonies and toonies. So they got a loonie is a $1 coin and a toonie is a $2 coin. You know what I mean? So, you know, currency transition, let's see, 10th, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 1 million. So 7 1 millionths, or 7 100 thousandths of a Bitcoin is how much a Happy Meal costs. So good luck with that fucking math. Nobody's going to do that shit. Yeah.
How do I do that then? You know, how do I do that?
I don't know. You'll eventually have to separate the actual value for something from the trading, right? So technically a dollar is worth, it depends on what other market you're matching it up with. So I think in Canada, it's like $1.34 Canadian right now, right? So if, as a trader, if you're Canadian as a trader referring to the US dollar, you would say, I've got $1.34 in US dollars, but it's actually a dollar here if you had to spend it at a fucking grocery store. You know what I mean? So it's complicated. I think they'll just have to come up with a different, since it's all internal, like it started in America and it's grown mostly here, I mean, although it is technically international, we'll just have to come up with some different language to describe that, because that's going to be weird as shit.
You know, yeah, because I mean? my next question is, will there be a Bitcoin credit card where that will separate these weird transactions because of what it's worth?
Here, and here's why. So the institutions that would have a Bitcoin credit card, they would work just like any other financial institution. They have a bunch of money, and they're going to loan a little bit of it to you at 7% interest, or from 7 to 37% interest. That's the range of most credit cards. And that's how they make money. That has nothing to do with Bitcoin as an institution. It just happens to be a currency that people are trying to fucking apply usury to. That's it. So, yes, absolutely, there will be Bitcoin.
It already exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but those are cards that are, to a lesser degree, yes. And it's a very unregulated market. I would not recommend getting a Bitcoin credit card right now.
Because you're taking capital losses and gains every time you do a transaction.
Every time you do a transaction, yeah. So fuck that. Because it's still just, it's not a legit currency yet. It's still a trade object. So every time you use that credit card, technically you would be on the hook for the taxes for capital gains or capital loss tax. You'd have to file all that shit. Fuck that.
Because we have a company that we work with, mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros. We'll double that deposit up to $1,000. That uses Bitcoin right now. So you could go on there and gamble and do whatever you wanted to with Bitcoin, cash out in Bitcoin. There was an NFL player that decided to take half of his salary in Bitcoin 2 years ago. Everybody called him a fucking moron. Now that turned into $14 million. At what point is everyone going to start taking this seriously? Because when I saw that you could buy a car this morning with Bitcoin, I was like, oh shit, what the fuck do I do now?
Well, I think people are already taking it seriously, frankly. I mean, one of the biggest companies in the goddamn world right now is just announced via Twitter that they're going to start accepting Bitcoin for their product. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't think the next ones will be Amazon, Walmart, and Target. Those will be the next ones that topple. They'll have to come out and do the same thing because they have so much volume sales and people. The only reason Elon Musk would say we're accepting Tesla or accepting Bitcoin for Tesla now is because he is a smart man. And his fucking financial advisor say, hey, there's enough Bitcoin out in the market in the hands of normal people now that they can actually use it as currency. And that's how it fucking tips and becomes currency.
Also, he manipulates the market all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a vested interest in Bitcoin.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He owns a big position in Bitcoin. So he's just like, hey, we take it now. When that is vertical integration, which, you know, in some ways can be detrimental to the economy. But in this case, I don't think it is because we need to transition away from unbacked paper money anyways. So
yeah, because that's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so Tesla themselves invest $1.5 billion into Bitcoin, right? That's a publicly traded company that anybody could go in and buy pieces of or fucking whole shares if you can afford $55,000 a share. Now, by saying your company, after that purchase, is now accepting Bitcoin, aren't you just effectively driving up a price of a stock you already own?
Correct, but there's no, so it's not a stock. It's not an IPO. It's currency, right? It's cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a board of directors for Bitcoin where somebody could get charged for manipulating stocks or not being truthful with investors or anything like that. It's decentralized. So the regulatory, to be honest, I think that's why a lot of the regulatory stuff is. Hasn't been done yet because nobody can figure out how to regulate this shit. Because there's no, what's one person you can go to? So, for example, if Merrill Lynch or Bear Stearns or any of these assholes decide to do something fucked up, there's a board, then there's a CEO, then there's a CFO, and you can charge all these people. You can fucking penalize the company itself and blah blah blah. If individuals, start making runs on Bitcoin and influencing markets and doing this and this and this. You have to go after each one of them individually. And then because it's cryptocurrency, you have to have, you have to see it in their fucking hands, right? Like you have to somehow tie them to this encrypted piece of stuff. And then you have to be able to get into that encrypted piece of stuff to prove it forensically. It's a whole shit show.
Yeah. And I wonder at what points does it either take over or go away completely? Because that's still on the table. A lot of people are saying, hey man, Bitcoin still isn't a thing. It'll eventually be wiped out. And because the prices swing so drastically throughout the months, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Giorgio said it was like 4,000 maybe in January or something like that. Yeah. And now it's up to 55,000.
Yeah, the market swings. You don't see that in currency. You know what I mean? Because currency is stable. So it's kind of interesting. Now, even now is still a good time to invest in not necessarily Bitcoin, but other cryptocurrencies, because there will be a lot of market fluctuation, and most of it's going to be on the upward trend right now. You typically only see downward trend in currency when there's some kind of hostile event in the country. Like it happened in 9/11. It's happened a number of times, right? Mm-hmm. Where a currency will tank for a little while. but for the most part, it stays pretty regular. And if your economy is doing well, it'll creep upward, provided you're doing better than everybody else. We had a huge trade deficit with China before COVID happened, for example. So our currency was on the march upward. And I think what we're probably looking at is the different types of currency will become like either different denominations of bills or like different types of credit cards. Like some people have a MasterCard and it works really well with these types of purchases. Some people have Discover and it's more limited, et cetera, right? So I think that's more, I don't think it's going to be one single unified cryptocurrency that takes over everything. I think cryptocurrency at large will start to become accepted, and then people use it for different things. Now, what Elon's doing by saying, he didn't say we're going to accept cryptocurrency. He said Bitcoin specifically, obviously, because he owns a huge position in it. But there's nothing wrong with doing that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just weird, I guess. I didn't know it was legal, I guess, to a certain extent. But we're in a different time, man, where currency is changing and shit. Doesn't he own a bunch of Dogecoin, and so does Mark Cuban and his kid too?
Dude,
and
that's who the fuck knows what Elon Musk owns, to be honest. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to talk about it today is like, what do you tell the listeners? Because we've gotten a bunch of messages of like, hey man, what's your thoughts on Bitcoin? I don't fucking know, to be honest with you.
If you really want to know, we'll have Richard Ryan on soon to talk about it, because he's done really well in that market and knows it very well. But also my fan page guy is very smart investing in fucking in cryptocurrency. And, you know, he'll say that Bitcoin isn't the best cryptocurrency to put your money in, probably because it doesn't have any underlying tech that's remarkable. It's like Ethereum and some of the other companies do. Ethereum kind of is, you know, not as good as it might have been before, but the ones with underlying tech. But it is a good long position, because Bitcoin is Coke, right? It's a category of one. So it's a very, very good long position, because you can put whatever money you have in there and it is 100% going to grow. There's no question it's going to grow until at some point there's a payout when they convert it into a currency. So I think it's a good long position. But if you're looking to learn cryptocurrency and learn the market, I would get involved in some of the smaller ones. And if you really want to know which ones, I would talk to fucking my fan page guy. You can follow him at Dan Holloway Fan Page on Instagram.
Yeah, there's a guy here, Timmy D, says, you guys have smart brain meats, which I really like. Why can't we go back to the gold standard? I'd love to, Timmy D.
Why?
Because this is confusing.
The gold standard is like putting a finite amount of, this is a finite amount of money that can exist, because it's only as much gold as exists. Or you manipulate the gold market. So when there was the gold standard, the dollar was still only worth whatever the international price of gold was. So what the fuck difference does it make? Now it's just worth whatever the U.S. dollar makes. It's literally no different. I'm tired of hearing about the goddamn gold standard. Get out of here with that fucking Ron Paul bullshit.
I would like to just cut off little pieces of gold and give them to people for.
Okay, if that were the case, if that were the case, I would do that. Yes, just to be stupid, just to make it stupid, I would definitely do that because that would be pretty funny.
I would really like to have a little tiny gold cutter with me and be like, oh, how much is that? $8. Well, I think it's about this much gold. Let me just kind of chief that off to you, and then we'll see, you know, what happens and if you're happy about your life's decisions. Because to me, with all these coins and all this shit, it just, none of it feels real. Same with this NFT thing, man. This keeps going now. Gronkowski, who was on our show, you know, his card ended up selling for $1.2 million.
Yeah.
The NFT card.
Yeah.
Ross, it might be over though. Bryson DeChambeau just released his, and I think that's the bubble. That's where it pops.
What was his?
Oh, the golfer?
Yeah, the golfer, Bryson DeChambeau. He's getting in. He's doing NFT cards. So, yeah, it's over. NFTs are done.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because by the time he gets in on it, I think it's too late.
Well, I mean, it's still going to be. I mean, it's really interesting to think about what NFTs are going to turn into from a media perspective. We're going to have. So Danny Worstop released his latest album as an NFT, and we're going to have him. We're going to have him on after it sells for another month or so. We're going to have him back on again to talk about what that process was like. It's super fucking interesting to see, especially in the arts, how it's going to fucking develop.
I had a big meeting about NFTs when I was in LA with a NFT ticketing company. See, what happens is the original holder of the NFT gets a percentage of every resale after.
Oh, so it's like. It's like fucking being on network television and getting residuals.
Mm-hmm. But for every ticket that you sell to a concert, so think of everyone who like buys a ticket and resells it somewhere online instead of Ticketmaster or StubHub. Also, the other thing we were talking about is if...
Wait. So you're saying if Cowboys Stadium, they sell a bunch of Cowboys tickets,
mm-hmm.
and then those go on to the resale market. Traditionally, they would get none of that resale value, but now because of the NFT, they're going to get some portion of it. That's really fucking smart.
Yep. But, and every time, like, oh, I can't go to someone else. And then the other thing is to incentivize trading amongst the NFTs, incentivizing it. So if you hold a certain number of an NFT at a time, you'll get a package. So you'll get either...
Oh, so it's vested interest. Mm-hmm.
So it's like you need to hold 5 of a certain NFT at a time, and then once you get the 5, you get the reward, and then you can trade them again, and people are trying to get them back and forth.
Georgia, what about this, though? Somebody just bought a digital house for $500,000?
You say digital house, somebody told me that yesterday. Does that mean they bought the blueprints for a house that only they can build now? Or because, I mean, what the fuck?
It's called Mars House.
Like a Sims house? It's a Sims house and somebody paid fucking millions of dollars for it?
It's just art. It's just art.
Yeah, it's just art. So it's called Mars House. It's the world's first digital NFT home. And it recently sold for $500,000.
I mean, that's not the dumbest thing I've heard people spending money on, frankly.
Just get Minecraft. Just get good at Minecraft.
Yeah,
a house. I don't understand. I'm looking through it right now. Hot Bob, they've got pictures of the interior of the house. Now, is this all in your mind, or do you get this too? Do you get this picture as part of the NFT?
He's bringing it up right now.
Yeah, he's looking it up.
So. The digital paid artist was Chris DeKim, 288 Ether, a cryptocurrency that is equivalent to $514,557.79 for the virtual property. In exchange, the buyer will receive 3D files to upload to his or her metaverse. Now, a metaverse is a virtual extension of our world. Holy shit.
It's the new social media. It's the 3D virtual social media. It's like, and that's what I discussed before, is that as soon as there's a place or an avenue to display the one-of-one or the limited access, so basically you have the exclusivity, so now you need the clout that comes with the exclusivity, and then you build the platform to showcase that. Another interesting thing I heard was that a lot of these guys are trending amongst themselves, and my friend used the term crypto whale. A lot of these guys who got in so early that they have like unfathomable amounts of income, and they can kind of use that to bully things around right now and kind of sway the market in that aspect.
You're talking about Elon Musk then, right?
No, there's a bunch of them. Yeah, there's a bunch of just like random dudes that are in it. Blau is one of the DJ guys who was in it. That's who we were discussing. He's like, he sold an album on there for a couple mil and a couple tracks. Hmm. And he's like, I was like, how? And he says, homies with the crypto whales. So they'll do whatever and trade amongst themselves right now because it's really almost like limitless for them.
How do you trade that in, Giorgio, for actual hard money that ends up in your bank account at like Wells Fargo? Oh,
so you're on one of the exchanges. So Nifty Gateway is the big one that you hear people with the sports cards. They're the famous NFT trading site. So that's basically like a digital card shop. So you're on that digital card shop. You sell your NFT to someone else. They give you Ethereum, which is normally the trading crypto of choice, and then you sell that on a Coinbase or somewhere else on a marketplace, and then they give you USD, and then that finally goes back to your account.
Wow. We got to get on this. We got to get Richard Ryan on this show, dude. I want to figure this out. And if so, and if we need to create NFTs, let's fucking do it. Like, I'm all in on this thing, whatever this is, because it seems just made up. I looked at the Gronkowski card, and it's just a picture of him in like a nondescript uniform, kind of spiking the fucking ball in the end zone. There is rules to it where you can't use copywritten songs or uniforms and shit like that. I just don't know what they are and why, I guess. Because the dog face guy, the cranberry juice drinker on the skateboard, he is selling his original footage of him on the skateboard, but it's without the Fleetwood Mac song, and they're going to blur the label on the cranberry juice.
Why would anybody pay for that? The value of that is the art in its entirety, not just the element of the art.
He's hoping for $500,000, and he says he wants to buy his parents a house.
Okay, so, well, get a job, asshole, and pay your parents, buy your parents a house that way. Why the fuck would you sell some stupid video of you skateboarding without the music or the fucking label? Get fucked. That's dumb as shit.
If anybody here is in the chat room here on YouTube, let us know if you've ever bought an NFT, and if you would in the future, because I don't meet normal people who are just like, yeah, man, I can't wait to fucking buy the next NFT from so-and-so.
Oh, we got a butthurt guy down here. Kenny B is upset that the people that actually trade in cryptocurrency don't agree with his opinion, so he's going to go hang out by a campfire cleaning his weapon. You sound real tough, dude. Seriously. Shut the fuck up, fucking clown. What an idiot.
Look, Hot Bob, how much did the Kings of Leon album go for? Because they just did it too.
Oh, that's true. They did do that. Son of a bitch. Wait, that's not
well,
that.
Yeah,
that's,
what Nathaniel was the Rates price on that?
It's generated $2 million.
No shit.
It says it's generated $2 million. So let me look into that a little more. But like I don't know if it was purchased by one person. Over 500,000 has been donated by the band to that's something else. It's keep saying generated.
Didn't Wu-Tang essentially do this when they sold their album to
Scarelli?
They like to diversify their bonds, from what I remember from Dave Chappelle.
Wu-Tang?
Yeah. I mean, and
there
also protect their necks is a big, that's a big, you know, of all the things that you could think about in modern culture, diversifying your bonds and protecting your neck are probably right up there, right? You would think so. So Wu-Tang was, they were prophets of a kind, I would say.
Ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Certainly ahead of their time.
Bon. Shit. Because, yeah, like if you go back to what Wu-Tang did this, 5 years ago with Shkreli?
Yeah.
The farmer bro.
Mm-hmm.
They made one album and said, hey, we are selling this one album. Whoever has it will be the only person to have this album. If they'd like to have others over to listen to it, they'll, you're allowed to have like 10 in the room, I think. Like, it came with all these stipulations, right?
I'm sure. And look, you could technically break those rules, but I don't think anybody would sell it, because anybody with the amount of money to buy something like that in the first place would never sell it for more money. That's just the people who spend the kind of money on that sort of thing don't think that way. They want the exclusivity or whatever it is. What did he say? Mitch Ray. Yeah, I don't think the skateboard guy's an idiot. I think the idea is idiotic. But yeah, if somebody pays him for the clip, then fucking yeah. I mean, good for him. Shit. If you can get somebody to pay you $500,000 for a 20-second clip of you skateboarding, congratulations, America. You fucking America'd. You won America. Yeah. Congratulations.
I want to America this shit. So if there's a way in, I want to fucking try it. Aaron Mandajano says, say my name. I just did. Very Breaking Bad of him. I like that. I like that a lot. We got some sponsors, Dan, before we get back to this fucking madness of of me trying to figure out this new dumb shit that's going on in the world. And more importantly, trying to protect my kids from losing our house by selling it as an NFT or some shit like that, because I don't understand how it works. And it's a fucking boomer moment right now with the NFT and the fucking crypto bullshit right now, because
it happens to all of us. We all get old.
Not very often, though.
Oh, well, let me stop you right there, dude. You are the worst with you're like an 85-year-old man with technology. I see you like looking at your phone sometimes and like, he has no idea what's happening on that phone right now. I can tell. That's why you want to go back to the flip phone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, hating technology is one thing, right? And that's fine.
As long as you don't take it too far.
Yeah. But understanding how you could potentially lose money through some fucking weird crypto thing is another thing where I'm like, holy shit. You won't lose any money though. GhostBed from at GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Matter of fact, you're going to gain some deals there. 40% off a bundle package right now. If you get the adjustable base and the mattress, the other items, look, you can get those for 30% off the promo code drinking bros at checkout. So if you wanted to get some pillows, sheets, a cover, maybe you're having a sex party this weekend, go to GhostBed.com/drinking bros today. And if you do buy a mattress and post a picture of yourself on it on Instagram, tag GhostBed and drinking bros, they'll send you 2 free pillows. We've seen a bunch of these responses now, and it's fucking rad, man. It's nice to see your smiling faces enjoying a GhostBed like D'Anthony and I. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program at no interest at GhostBed.com/drinking bros. And you can couple all those deals together that I just mentioned, put it in the 36-month pay-as-you-go program, and then be on about your day, probably about, what, 35-ish bucks a month, something like that, Dan?
Yep. Yeah, right around there.
Yeah. Who do we got up next here on this fine Wednesday?
Well, we got Babbel. I mean,
yeah.
Been learning Spanish. I had to take a break for a couple of days because we were traveling and shit, and I just wasn't able to keep up, but Dakota and I are planning on doing a whole show in Spanish sometime 4 or 5 months from now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be terrible. but no, this is a great app. I've used a couple of these language learning programs in the past, some with the military and then some after. 15-minute sessions in Babbel were really the key for me. So you can choose how much – you do a little quiz up front. You can choose how much time a day you spend on it. And they're breaking down into 15-minute sections. And then every like once in a while, maybe after every 4 lessons, it brings back a lesson from like 6 lessons ago just to refresh your memory. The way they designed this is really, really smart, and it works really well. You know, nobody remembers all that bullshit you learned in high school. Nobody.
Like, no.
If you're wondering if traditional methodologies for learning languages work, try to remember the language you learned in high school right now.
Yep.
Okay, you can't.
I had this conversation with my wife, and I was like, dude, at one point I was fluent in Spanish. She's like, I don't understand why you're not anymore. And I was like, I didn't fucking speak Spanish to anybody for years after that. Like, years. And it's like, yeah, I can remember some nouns and some verbs and shit like that. I can't conjugate them. I don't know any of that bullshit. This will help you.
Yeah, well, you can choose from 14 different languages, all the major ones.
French, Italian, German.
And they have speech recognition technology, so you can actually work on your pronunciation without having to use another person. I know a lot of people do stuff like this late at night before bed or on their free time, and you don't really have time to schedule talking with another person to do this. You know what I mean? So that helps a lot. So, you know, right now when you go, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you get 3 months for free. So that's 6 months for the price of 3. Go to Babbel.com, use the promo code Drinking Bros, BABBEL.com, code Drinking Bros for an extra 3 months, and learn that language. You can tune into the show. We could do some weird shit.
Yeah, Babbel, language for life. Go and do that now. Last but not least, we got KillcliffCBD.com, D'Anthony.
We sure do.
One of the finest in the land, 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. What do you get? 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros and free shipping.
I think it's 20% off actually.
30 was getting a little too high, wasn't it?
I don't think we've ever had 30.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
They did it for Christmas.
Oh yeah. There was a short sale. Yeah. There was a short sale. No, but there's a lot of stuff going on. So Killcliff CBD and their, other products are going to be available in a lot of local stores here in Texas coming up soon. and we're going to do some openings. Some
yeah,
we're actually thinking about this. So we posted some Kill Clip shit the other day, but go on our social media and let us know what kind of fun, weird pop up events we might be able to do around Texas. Like one of the things people do is have a mad dash. Like as soon as they're stocked in a store, we just send 40 or 50 people there to buy out all their inventory and stuff like that. But I want to get something a little bit more creative. Try to think like Jared Taylor for a minute and what kind of madness he might come up with, and channel your inner JT and tell me what you think some fun shit for us to do with a Kill Clip would be. I would really like that. For a number of reasons. One, I like the good ideas, but two, I like to see people trying to model themselves after Jared and see the results of that. So do both of those things.
I wonder how much Kill Clip CBD you can consume. It's got 25 milligrams in every can, right?
Well, you can't.
I drink
OD
the grape all the time. So you can't, like, you couldn't drink like 8 of those and feel like, hey, I'm on oxys or anything like
no,
that.
No, for sure. I mean, you would have to drink like 6 that. No, well, you're never going to feel that kind of effect. But it is the carrier for the CBD is an MCT oil. So technically you could drink enough of that to give yourself diarrhea. But for the amount that's in there, you would have to drink like 60,000 of the things or something like that. So no, you can't ever.
All right, just checking.
You're also not going to piss hot. So if you're in the military, you're a first responder, you work for the government, any of that bullshit where they drug test, not going to be a problem.
No THC in any of these. Go to killcliffcbd.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS gets you 20% off and free shipping. 5 awesome flavors there. The Flaming Joe is one of my faves. We get some updates here for you, kids. D'Anthony and I will be in Dallas May 7th and 8th. We're going to that Canelo fight.
Yeah, we're bringing a special guest, a couple of special guests, actually, to that.
Yeah.
We'll get
down to that, and we're going to try to do a live event somewhere down there. We'll kind of figure it out as we go.
We'll definitely do a live show somewhere on Saturday.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Just got to figure out where.
Just a nice Saturday afternoon haunt, you know, to have some pre-drinks before that fight starts. 60,000 people they're letting in there, Dan.
Wow. I mean, what does that place hold? Like 80?
I want to say close to 100, Jerry World, or 110. So 60s, it might be 120. 60 is about half. So
yeah. Okay. Cool.
You know, I don't know what the mask thing is. Do we have to wear a mask?
It's 80,000.
So the capacity is 80,000. So they're going 75% basically.
Oh shit. All right.
That's
it looks
fine.
Bigger in person.
That's what she said. So
yeah,
that'll be fine. Regarding the mask thing, it won't really matter for us because we'll be in a suite. But I would look into it. I mean, I don't think there will be a huge mask requirement, mostly because the Texas Rangers, when they open their shit up, it's going to be 100% but with mask. And I don't think they would go to 75 and mask. They would just go to 100% mask if that's what Dallas wanted. If the city of Dallas wanted that, right? You'd think so, anyways.
Yeah. The reason why I ask is, stadiums are opening up right now. One of the top stories today was the Miami Heat are going to allow people in, and they're also going to have a designated section for people that have been vaccinated.
Oh, boy, we're doing that already.
Yeah. Is that going to become a thing now?
Yeah, I guess. Jesus Christ.
Shit. Oh, I don't want to do that. And then how do you prove that? Are you going to have to walk around with a card? Did they give you a card when you get vaccinated?
I mean, I'll definitely still go to those games because I'll make fun of whichever group cares more. Like if somebody's like, look at these losers getting vaccinated. I'm like, well, they got vaccinated. What do you care? And then people are like, look at these losers not getting vaccinated. I'll be like, well, they didn't get vaccinated. What do you care? Seems like the same goddamn response to both of these assholes. There's a lesson to be learned there. I don't give a shit if people get vaccinated or not for COVID.
I guess so.
Do it if you want. If you feel like it helps you, then do it. If you don't want, if you don't trust it yet, then don't do it. Who cares?
What I've found is having been in California, over the weekend, my God, man, people are like afraid out there.
Oh yeah. People in California seemed afraid, except for all the bums on the street. All the homeless people, they were not afraid. And they also don't have any kind of health care at all. Not insurance or coverage or nothing. They don't have anything.
Yeah, nothing. So, nothing at all.
So they're all still out there. So I wonder, you would think that homeless people would be pretty immune compromised because of poverty, but I guess there's something about living that hard life that keeps your immune system strong probably, right? You would think so.
I guess, but then aren't the homeless just a representative of which we should be like here and just kind of not washing our hands and all that bullshit every 10 steps?
Well, you know, it is very disappointing that the WHO changed that language on their website about what constitutes herd immunity and what contributes to it and what doesn't. I mean, they for the last entirety of their existence, right, as long as they've had a website, they've said that herd immunity has multiple contributing factors, including exposure and vaccination. Now, they've taken the exposure part out and say it's only vaccination that causes herd immunity, which is not true. That's a lie, right?
Right.
So if you think about the American people as shareholders in the government, because we are, right? We should be. Not just in ideology, but in finance, because we pay for all this shit. And we're also paying for the WHO. Then, in any other circumstance, when a leader in the company lies to shareholders, there's a penalty for that. There's a civil penalty and asset forfeiture and thing like that, but there's also criminal penalties for that. So I feel like Trump made the right decision pulling us out of the WHO. And of course, Biden, who is a useless old man and has vascular dementia, his team, I don't think he had anything to do with it, but his team bought back into that hook, line, and sinker. And the way they're covering the news these days, it's fucking preposterous. If you've seen the video, somebody clipped them all together. Somebody clipped all the quotes from people on cable news from the left talking about the concentration camps for kids at the border.
Yep.
And the way, the disparate way they talk about these two men and their influence on that issue is absolutely insane. This is the best example I've ever seen of how completely full of shit the media is.
Yeah. It's funny, man. If you look at the two most important things right now that have happened in the last year in our country, one is obviously COVID, right? And then the other is this issue at the border right now, because it's fucking bursting at the seams and everybody's talking about it. I find it funny how each president put their vice president in charge of it. So today, Kamala Harris just got named to be in charge of the border down there and try to solve that crisis. Whereas Trump was just like, hey, why don't you go and deal with the COVID, right? Yeah, I don't want to deal with this shit.
Yeah. I mean, the vice president's got to do something, man. Shit.
I guess, but what the fuck is she going to do down there about the, you know?
I don't know what she was planning on, if she was planning on going down there and checking shit out, she just kind of laughed nervously, which was weird. But as far as what she can do is start by telling the truth, right? And I think here's the issue with fucking binary politics and media right now, at least with this issue. So the left media right now is treating Biden the same way they should have treated Trump. This is a very complex issue. There aren't a whole lot of good solutions. When people feel some impetus to send their unaccompanied children across the border, that is a very fucked up and sad situation. It is also a situation that we have to deal with, and there is no good situation. It takes time to move assets into place. The Biden administration has been reaching out to professional sports stadiums and hotels and all kinds of other shit, trying to get fucking room for these kids. And, the way he's handling it makes sense. And the way that they're describing, the way that the leftist media is describing the nuance of the situation is very correct right now. And they should have done the same thing under Trump, because I guarantee goddamn to you that guy wasn't sitting around twisting some fake mustache like, oh, how can I get at these Mexican kids right now? No, I mean, it's fucking, people want to deal with humanitarian crisis. Everybody feels bad about the way things are going. You know what I mean? Nobody feels good about this situation. So giving him the, if you want to call it the benefit of the doubt, there's another word for it, the principle of charity. It's in debate where you take people at their word and you assume they have the best intentions and mean the best thing when they say that instead of the opposite of that. That's a good way to handle that shit. And the way the right media right now is attacking the left for stupid bullshit is the way they should attack their own side when stupid bullshit happens, right? Stupid bullshit is stupid bullshit, and good answers are good answers, and fucking tough problems are tough problems. These are the way you should be talking about these things, not, well, it's a tough problem. If it's a tough problem in the hands of my enemy, then he's a failure. If it's a tough problem in the hands of my friend, then it's fucking nuance. That's not fucking reality. You're a piece of shit if you think like that. You got to stop that shit.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I don't know what she can do down there, but this is her first big test. So they're saying today that he's tasking her with this, and it will be her first major policy role since being sworn in January. Obviously, Harris this week called the situation at the border a huge problem. Again, I don't know what this administration is going to do with it versus any other, because it hasn't worked out well here. The other odd thing that I thought was happening is Kamala Harris is going to go one-on-one with Bill Clinton on Friday nights live to talk about the impact of COVID-19 on women and empowering women and girls in the U.S. and around the world as part of the Clinton Global Initiative events. Why?
Well, I mean, everybody knows that Bill Clinton is really into the empowerment of women. Nope. Sorry, that's the sexual harassment and assault of women. Excuse me. My bad. No fucking idea. No idea. No idea why that would be the case. It's it's because in fundamentalism, there's no sense of irony. Lewis Black used to say this all the time. There's no comedy. You take yourself too seriously. When you become a fundamentalist, you take yourself too seriously. That's why all the best meme accounts are fucking conservative people now. The Babylon Bee, for example. What leftist fucking meme account do you see that isn't just vitriolic, hateful bullshit anymore? The Babylon Bee they make funny content. And it's the reason it's funny is because of context. It's funny because the left takes itself so seriously that any slight against them, they just get completely butthurt, and butthurt people are very easy to parody, right? That's why the comedy is swung this way. The comedy used to swing the other way, and now it's swung to the right, and that's the reason, because you're full of shit. If you're part of some in-group or whatever, and you find yourself the constant source of pretty funny ridicule, you're fucked up. That's a good bellwether for knowing you're fucked up in society.
Yeah, and the other hilarity in this is it's going to be at Howard University. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Why not at that point?
Yeah, well, I know she was
a graduate at Howard.
He was our first black president, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what are we doing there? Like, why not? If you're going to do it at Howard, why not do Obama down there? If you're Kamala Harris,
Of all the people, I don't know why. I don't think they probably – this is – the racist thinking of the left. They think, well, we got to have a white guy up there. America won't accept two black people. You don't think America would tune in to hear Obama and Kamala Harris talk? You're out of your fucking mind. Everybody in the country, for one reason or another, would want to hear that conversation, because despite how I don't think Obama's a bad person, I think Kamala Harris is a human piece of garbage. I think she is a bad human being. I honestly do. But I don't think Obama's, I think he's fucking locked into his political rhetoric bullshit. But, I would watch that conversation just to see what came out of it. You know what I mean? It's the assumption that America would tune out because of the race of the people involved. I mean, the NFL did pretty well for a long time. 80% of their employees are black. 80% of their players are black, right? They've been doing pretty well for a long time. People care about the color of the uniform, motherfucker. They don't care about the color of the player. They never have. Nobody's ever cared about that bullshit. And the people that have cared about the color of the players have been ridiculed mercilessly by anybody with any kind of common sense. So get fucked with that shit. I hate it so much. Of course her and Obama would have been a better conversation. Bill Clinton's fucking 70,000 years old.
Yeah, and at Howard University, the entire thing seems odd. And again, because of what the subject matter is as well, it's like, man, that's probably the last guy you would want to speak on that, considering the Epstein shit and everything else.
Yeah, sure. But I would say that Obama is a bad person to speak to about the empowerment of women as well. Like, the Lilly Ledbetter Act was a big deal, sure. But when it came time for him and all of his progressives to protect women with the Affordable Care Act, right? When it came time to make sure that there were no fucking out clauses for companies to not pay for preventative health care, like birth control and shit like that, he allowed any kind of religious institution to opt out. He's a fucking coward, and he threw women under the bus just because of a bunch of fucking stupid religious bullshit from 2,000 years ago. So he's a cunt too. There's no perfect solution there, but it definitely would have been better with Obama.
Yeah, I by the way, if you're looking for a sly, funny account on Twitter, as Monica Lewinsky's got a sly, funny Twitter account. Like there'll be questions of like, hey, what was your most awkward moment in the 90s? And then she just wrote pass. Like she's pretty funny on there.
That's good.
Scotty Riley, the honorable dirtbag, says, you just got stand. What's your shoe size, boss? I love when people ask my shoe size. It's 12. I don't know what you're going to do with that information.
That's mine too.
Is it really?
We're both 12s. Yeah, we should do something about that. We should recreate. So we posted that video on Instagram today of a conversation you, me, Jared, and Jennifer Marshall had, what, 2 years ago? Actually, two years ago this month. About these two gay Civil War guys. So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. But we could definitely do that. We could go shoe shopping together and just have. If we each lose the opposite leg, we're good.
Yeah. Are you really a 12?
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Yes. Yeah. If we each lose the opposite leg, we could go buy shoes together forever. So that's really convenient.
Well, I'd love to give it a go. Just so we have that option. Obviously, my wife and I were talking about those new Yeezy Clouds. Would you be into those at all?
I don't know what they look like. Let me look it up. Hang on.
Hot Bob, pull those up for Dan. Let me know if you would wear these things. They're hard to get. They're on eBay.
I mean, I'm not spending,
because they sold out.
I'm not spending $600 on a pair of fucking shoes.
I'm not either. But I just want to know if you would wear these. Let's forget about the price at all. I just want to know if you would wear these.
I haven't seen them yet. Are you going to pull them up, Bob? Where is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Oh, man.
Pull up the Clouds. They're weird looking, dude.
Yeah, not wearing that. No, that's he's clearly just fucking with us at this point. Like, let me see what I can get these dumbass white people to do. That's what Yeezy's doing.
I can't figure it out, but either way he did it, they all sold out, Dan. Yeah. Gone. They're going on eBay for $600 to $700 right now.
It looks like you stepped in cum and then you stepped out of it and it's just slowly dripping off of your feet. That's what it looks like to me.
It looks like you stepped into the other world in Stranger Things and then it wrapped around your foot and you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But I gotta be honest, they look really fucking comfortable.
I'm sure they're comfortable. And the slides that they made too, well, they're not slaggots or slippers, but it's the same general design but in a slipper. I don't know, having that material in a slipper on top of your foot all the time seems like it would make your feet sweat even though it's open, right? I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what his end game there is. Like
his end game, let me save you the fucking suspense. It's to make money.
No, I know that. But is there some type of troll where you look at all this shit? Because I've seen his clothing line and it looks like fucking homeless people, right? Like this weird dystopian society. That's coming out next year for Gap. So we signed a multi-billion dollar deal with Gap.
Yep.
So they're going to release this clothing. Is it a huge troll like to him of like, hey man, I wonder if I could just design this like dystopian clothing and people would actually wear this. I wonder if I could make shoes that look like clouds and people would just fucking wear it because of who I am.
You got to wonder about that. You got to wonder if anybody would ever do something like that. And so if anybody would ever even think about doing that, then you have to at least accept that it's a possibility, right? Like if Jared or I were in his position, we would absolutely be doing that every single day. We would just come up with more and more weird ways to fuck with people and make money at the same time. That's all we would ever do. So yeah, it's probably what he's doing. He seems like a smart guy that doesn't take any of this all that seriously, frankly.
Man, if this is like the world's biggest troll and then he just came out and had a completely dead serious conversation in 10 years and said, all right, I'm going to sit down with, I don't know, fucking Oprah, if she's still alive, or whoever it is, right? Maybe we've overtaken Rogan at that point. I don't know. That is up to YouTube. Let's say that we have, and he sits down and he just goes, look, I was tired of the world around me, and I thought I would just fuck with everyone. And the biggest way to do that is if I could get them to dress the same, wear the weirdest clothes, and these fucked up shoes, and it eternally made just me laugh, like Kanye. Only Kanye just made me laugh everywhere I went. That's the only reason I did all this and I made $10 billion.
Yeah. And then you wonder about the people who had recently bought some of his products and if they would keep wearing them. Or like you would kind of, after you'd spent all that money, you're probably forced to wear them ironically at that point. Like, yeah, I know it was a joke, but I'm part of it. No, you weren't. You were the victim of the joke. I promise you that.
Because there was a fad of these girls wearing these beige, like New Balance, but they look like, God damn it, I don't want to say retard, almost like nursing shoes.
Yeah.
Very, very thick padding. Probably the ugliest shoes I've ever seen in my life. Very, very basic and generic. And I always felt like somebody at New Balance was just doing that as a troll, and like people just did it just to do it.
I don't know. I mean, look at the fucking world of high fashion. Is that a troll?
It and how
does
feels
it,
like
how does it? How does it generate so much money? Like, how do you take a clothing line made out of fucking garbage bags that's clearly only for the one-time display only? Nobody's actually buying this shit. How does it, I don't know how that turns into money later. Honestly, I guess it's sponsorships and shit, but they make a fuck ton of money doing it, whatever it is. So I guess, you know, there's something about just giving people a glimpse into the future, even if it's wrong, that seems really attractive. Like, remember all the shit from Back to the Future? None of that shit was real. Like, we're not even close to, like, there's no fucking weird alien-looking baggy sleeve coming down on one side of our fucking jacket. It's none of that shit ever happened. So I wonder what it is that was attractive about that. And even if you saw a movie today, I think it happens less now than it did, but the 80s and 90s movies for sure, anytime they depicted something futuristic, it was this wild, crazy bullshit that would clearly never happen. I don't know why anybody thought any of that would happen. So it's got to be something like that, right? Like why people are attracted to this new looking style or whatever.
I pitched a troll movie once, like multiple times. I sincerely thought I could have gotten it made. And I was just doing it just to do it, where it was a kid who was dying of leukemia. It's kind of like Lucas. You remember that movie Lucas from back in the day?
No.
It was a football. The kid was like an odd, just pull up the movie Lucas and look at a picture of him. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's like a little kid who played high school football with Charlie Sheen.
Okay. Yeah, I see him.
I pitched this movie over and over again. It was a boy with leukemia, and his dying wish was to come in and kick like the game-winning field goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire thing was shot like a drama. Dead serious. So the entire thing was shot like a drama. But the ending, they finally bring in this kid who's dying of leukemia to kick the field goal, and he fucking misses like horrifically. I'm talking like wide, like way right. High school team loses. Mm. Everyone's disappointed in him. And people just start cursing at him from the stands or whatever, right? And it's a hard cut after that. It's about 5 minutes of him walking around dejected on the field. Girlfriend breaks up with him, like the homecoming. Everything is ruined, blah, 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 blah. Hard cut to black. And then it just had a rest in peace date of this kid and that he had died 2 days later after the football game.
And then you could show like the weird B-roll after where it's people booing at the funeral too.
No, so that wasn't in there. And so when I pitched this, I said, because everybody literally I pitched this to was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, comedically, it would be the funniest thing of all time. It would be like the comedic version of The Sixth Sense, except for 90 minutes. And I said, look, it's only going to be like an 80 to 90 minute movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one joke in this comedy is the very end of it. That's it. And then the kid fucking dies.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I thought, I was like, no lie. My thinking was, I was like, dude, everybody's going to tell somebody to watch this movie and not tell them the ending just so they ruined an hour and a half of their evening.
I mean, is that ruined? If the joke is funny, then is it ruined? I think
that's what, okay, this is what I said too. So I said, hey, man. And they were like, dude, that's super fucked up. I can't believe you pitched this or even talk about this.
You know what's
this.
Fucked up is fucking Meadow Soprano walking into a goddamn diner and then the fucking song slightly coming up in volume and then cutting to black. That was fucked up, motherfucker. actually, I think that ending was fine. The ending was like, we don't want there to be an ending. Like, we want you to keep thinking about Tony Soprano and his family into perpetuity. Not why would we give you some conclusion or resolution? Why? What would be the benefit of doing that at the end of the show?
I hated that ending the night of, and everybody I was like, I felt like everybody in Los Angeles was watching it that night live. We all thought the cable went out, and it, like, people were screaming and shit. And it was a nice night, so everybody's windows were open.
Yeah,
and I went back and rewatched it. I think like a year later, And after I read, there was an article where David Chase said, here's what the real fucking ending meant and what I meant for the show. And I went back and rewatched it, and then I really loved it, but I did not like it initially. Now, with this movie that I was pitching with a kid with leukemia, it was a hard no from everyone, and people were concerned of whether or not I would actually do this and make it. Relax, I couldn't get the fucking financing for it, but to this day, it has always interests me of like what the biggest troll I could possibly get away with was.
Yeah.
And to me, for what I do and all that other stuff, I think that's it.
Well, we could do that now. Yeah. Nobody can stop us now.
No, they can't. We'd have to raise the money. And I think, you know, obviously the audience knows the answer now. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But Timmy D is saying, if you want a good movie pitch, redo The Day After Tomorrow, current technology, and watch people not know what to do without technology and radiation poisoning. Hmm.
What about The Day Before Yesterday, where I can't remember what I'm doing today?
The Day Before Yesterday, but the guy's got Alzheimer's?
Yeah. And he always thinks it's The Day Before Yesterday. Or Reverse Notebook, where some woman is trying to read all these stories back to the dude with dementia, but the dude is just like, I don't care about it. Let's just fuck, bro. And it's porn. It's fucking The Notebook : Big Cums or something. I don't know what it would be, but it's basically just some old dude that this woman is trying to convince him or trying to read him this story. And he's just, you can just hear his inner dialogue the whole time. He's like, man, I don't give a fuck about any of this shit. Why is she still talking? Man, it's like what women want, but what men want. And you can hear the men's thoughts. But it
Because
you look, I think that would be a good one. That's what I think.
By the way, you know, I'll rock your world. George Clooney was originally supposed to play that, the Ryan Gosling one.
Oh, I mean, he was like 45 years old at the time, but that's cool.
It would have been a different movie for sure, but him and pimp-ass James Gardner, you know. Yeah, it looks they look similar, you know.
Yeah, but with a woman, who is it, Rachel McAdams in that movie? She looks kind of young. Not that
she does. I think it was going to be another girl though, too. To be honest,
oh, really?
With you.
Okay.
So they had a whole thing going on there with that one, but yeah, man, I really wanted to do the goddamn kicker movie. I didn't really have a working title for it, you know, because everybody was like, "Hey, man, you can't call it, you know, the mental kicker or something like that."
this movie, Lucas, the guy had leukemia.
I think I forget what his
and they
disease
named him
was.
Lucas. I mean, that's kind of fucked up.
I'm not
what
sure.
What if he had AIDS? Would they name him like fucking Dave the AIDS kid or some shit? Like, is it, that's weird.
Yeah, it might be Hivy. I might name him Hivy.
Yeah.
I got to look up the plot of Lucas now. Because if the kid had leukemia, he had something. He was all fucked up.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter.
It was a comedy drama. No, it does matter now. God damn it. This was a big deal, but he caught like the game-winning TD in this, and that was kind of like the inspiration for this. Oh, he was just fucking nerdy, dude.
Oh, that's not a disability. That's just, what the fuck? Why were you using that as an example? Why not radio?
Because the kid would be small like this. So like when he got out onto the field, I mean, you want to look like he could get destroyed at any moment, you know? Right. Which he does, obviously.
So you think him getting the kick off and it going wide right is better than him getting plowed by some defensive player and dying on the scene?
Yes, because there's more meaning to him missing it and losing the game. That meant everything to the town.
Right.
Because it was like, I mean, I wanted it to be shot like Friday Night Lights, where it's, you know, explosions in the sky soundtrack. You're driving by. There's you know, all the diners are closed up. Everybody's already going to the game, right? And they're rooting for this kid. You know, there's banners of this kid. There's the whole thing, right?
What if the mayor of the town had made a bet with the other mayor of the other town that one of them had to commit suicide?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just saying you could add some extra elements to it, you know.
Something fun and flirty.
Probably not that one.
Well, and then it cuts to the mayor holding a gun to his temple. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
He's listening to the game through an AM radio, and all of a sudden, wide right. And he just looks at his gun, and he's like, shit. Yeah. He's got to fucking blow his brains out.
That'll probably work.
Dude, there was a weird one yesterday that fucking a guy blew his brains out. And this was a fucking crazy story, dude. I wanted to talk to you about this. Do you know what tinnitus is?
Yeah. Ringing in,
your ears. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It sucks. We've all got it. That's why we can't fucking sleep at night.
So my stepdad has it as well, right? And he's just like, dude, some nights are worse than others, but he got used to the ringing. There is some weird COVID side effect where if you have tinnitus, it makes it sound like there's fucking jet engines inside your head.
Well, it's not weird. It's just a constriction of the holes in your head, right? That sound travels through. That's not weird at all. That makes total sense. If you have a respiratory infection like that, anywhere where air flows through your body is going to be more constricted. There's going to be not just buildup, but there's also going to be inflammation there. That's one of like the baffling in your lungs and in your fucking esophagus and inside your nose. All that shit swells up. That's why you sound all nasally and shit when you talk. So that actually makes. I never thought about that. Luckily, we had very mild symptoms, if any symptoms. I had mild symptoms for like 2 days maybe, but I don't know how it was for you, but yeah.
Mine were down in the butthole area, you know?
Well, that's because China, if you're thinking about trolling and who's trolling whom, China, like China's requiring anybody coming into their country to get a fucking anal swab done.
Yeah.
Now that, I don't know if that's the most efficient way to do this, but it's definitely the funniest.
It is hilarious, but it's classic China, right? Like, hey, we created the disease. Now, if you want to come back into our country, we're going to need to swab that beehole and make sure you're good.
Yeah.
If I had to go to China for a business trip, it'd be a lot of Del Monte frozen burritos the night before. And then, hey, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. I would. It's like, who is it? Fuck. Who used to say this? I don't remember who it was. Damn it. Some comedian used to tell this joke where before he goes to the dentist, he eats a whole bag of Oreos and doesn't brush his teeth. So it's just like chunks of black shit stuck in his teeth. You got to do that. Yeah. You got to do that before your butt, basically.
I agree. So anyways, with this tinnitus issue with the COVID, the founder of Texas Roadhouse, which you love. You talk about Texas Roadhouse all the time. Like whatever city we're in, you're like, hey man, is there a Texas Roadhouse here?
No, I've
That's
never,
all I give
I've,
a shit
I've,
about.
I have and never would say that.
You were like, oh man, if you're looking for a good steak, go to Texas Roadhouse.
I mean, if you're in Texas, you will get a good steak from them.
Yeah. So the co-founder or the founder, CEO Kent Taylor, died by suicide last week at 65. His family described it as a battle with post-COVID related symptoms, including the severe tinnitus. So what happened was he was diagnosed with COVID-19 and he battled. But the suffering of this tinnitus became so unbearable, he just fucking ended it.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, not
but
at
I
all.
Understand that. I mean, people have committed suicide from having prolonged bouts of hiccuping as well. I mean, it just drives you mad after a while. And I can, you know, I hear ringing in my ears pretty much all the time to some degree or another. I can imagine if it gets exacerbated by something and that's all, because sometimes it is. When it really flares up, that's all you can hear. You can't hear anything else. This is like a high-pitched whining sound all the time. Not fun. I can understand how that would drive someone crazy. That's unfortunate that they weren't able to fucking help this guy. Now that there's a high-profile case, hopefully they'll be like, hey, That's part of the fucking packet, I guess. Like when you get the flu, make sure you stay hydrated. When you get COVID, make sure you fucking keep it. If your ears start ringing a lot, that means you need to, because there's medicine you can take for tinnitus, right? Some work, some doesn't, but you can at least fucking address the issue and not just fucking sit at home and suffer and blow your goddamn brains out.
Yeah, apparently he just could not beat it and was just like, dude, I'm going to end it. The guy, look, if you pull him up, it looks like the owner of Texas Roadhouse. Like it's everything you hope for. Mm. He's got the cowboy hat on, the whole thing. He did leave a note and described what was going on and why. But the statement from his family noted that he's still managing to give back to others. Apparently, he committed a bunch of money to fund a clinical study to help members of the military experiencing tinnitus with this. So, shit, man.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fucking wild, dude.
Yeah, that is a
wild
story.
God damn it, man.
It's unfortunate that somebody had to die, but
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
So Dan, next time you're at your Texas Roadhouse, and again, I know you love it a lot. We'll pour out some steak sauce for him.
I actually will go there now to pay him back for him helping veterans. I'll go to Texas Roadhouse.
I enjoy their salad. They've got some crews there that are really good. They're croutons.
They got a nice wedge too.
Yeah, they do have a nice wedge, Dan.
Which is a wedge of lettuce with shit poured on it. So I don't know if nice is the right word. It's just, it is what it is.
I always love a good wedge. I don't care where it's from. You know what I'm saying?
I just like to be able to eat. It's all firm and together. Eating a salad with a fucking fork where I'm having to stick things over and over again. I fantasizing about stabbing vegetables? No, I don't care about that shit. Just, I want to make it clean. So I go fucking the normal cut with the fork in my left hand, and it's a solid piece of lettuce. Lettuce is pointless anyways. Let's be real, guys. It's fucking green water. There's no nutritional value in that shit. I need to get it into my mouth as quickly as possible. That's what she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm into that. Let's do it. I had another joke I wanted to run by you.
Good.
You ready?
Yeah, we're doing it. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We're doing whatever we want today. Go ahead.
Let's see. So, somebody showed me the link for Thunder Force. Are you familiar with what this is? If not, I'll give you a moment to look it up. It's a new movie. Yeah. It's a new movie.
Okay.
That's coming out soon. Thunder Force.
Let me give it an old look-see here.
Yeah. It's a superhero, female superhero show, an original one. Starring Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer as superheroes.
I can't believe I don't know about this.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before until the other day and somebody showed it to me. And I've been wondering a lot to myself, but I'm kind of, before I get into it, I wonder what your thoughts on this are.
I wish we had the capability to pull up a picture of this, because the still they're using for this movie is the best.
Oh, it's not great.
it's a joke, right?
I can't tell, to be honest. I honestly can't tell. I'm looking at can you not put this picture up right now? Yeah, throw the picture up on the screen. I'll come
put
here.
Put the picture of the two here. Of them
I'll
up there.
I'll send you the picture I'm talking about. Hang on. Which, who should I airdrop it to? That's the one I'm talking about right there, obviously. Yes.
Sounds great.
Okay. So here's my question.
Yeah.
For you and for the audience. What exactly are they fighting? Diabetes and losing? Are you fucking kidding me? With this shit? Look at these motherfuckers, man. Like, is this where we are in society now? Like, oh, there could be fat fucking... There can't be. You can't be a fat, out of shape person and be a superhero. Why would that be a thing?
I don't know. I'm going to read the tagline. So the genre, it's on Netflix, right? This is coming to Netflix.
I can't wait for this. I'm going to fucking rail on this so hard as soon as it comes out.
We should do a live watch on Patreon, dude.
Oh, we could do that, yeah.
To do it for Drinking Bros, a podcast on Patreon. By the way, the most fucked up shit that we can't put on here is on Drinking Bros Podcast Patreon. Thunder Force. Two childhood best friends reunite as unlikely crime-fighting superhero duo when one invents a formula that gives ordinary people superpowers. Now, the three leads that are listed are Melissa McCarthy, Octavia Spencer, and Jason Bateman. I hope it's a comedy.
Oh, man. Well, it's definitely a comedy because Melissa
McCarthy's
they've
listed it as action and adventure. So
I wonder. So I've been on the set of plenty of action movies, and seeing some of the rigs they have to use to make people look like they're doing certain things, fly, more so the character actors or the fucking extras who are getting thrown by the superhero or whatever, punched or whatever, blown up. If there are big battles that they're fighting in. I mean, what are we gonna do next? We're gonna have grandma superheroes with big fucking flappy arms and shit like that, like, wow, Sonny, and they're like hitting each other with canes and walkers with their superpowers. Get the fuck out of here, man. God
yeah.
damn it. Nobody wants to see this stupid shit.
No, we don't. And,
but my luck, it's gonna come out and be fucking hilarious, and I'm gonna look like a jackass. Because look, they're all three of those people, Bateman, Spencer, and fucking McCarthy, are all super talented and funny actors. So who the fuck knows? Maybe it's great. I hope it is. I hope it's great and I have to eat crow later. But right now it looks like it's going to be one giant bowl of fucking cringe. Just like eating hot mayonnaise out of a bowl with a fucking spatula. That's what this seems like to me right now.
Oof, man. Yeah. I did not know that was a real thing.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Shit. God damn it,
yeah,
man.
You can spend the rest of the day dealing with that. So.
No, that image is definitely burned in my mind now forever.
And for the rest of you, once you're after you're done looking that up, make sure you go to Drink It Bros merch store. We got new shit. See?
Got stuff on. Boom. We got the new tees. And by the way, so I had a conference call this morning again for the seltzer. We're getting closer and closer on that. Wildest shit ever was we're getting this one license, so we'll be able to ship two bars. So if there's a bar out there that wants our seltzer and wants to sell it, we'll be able to do that at our own events and shit.
Well,
like
I know a lot of Drinker Bros own bars too. I mean, we'll definitely have it here at WTF in Austin and some of the other ones around here. But if you're a Drinker Bro and you own a bar or have a friend that owns a bar and wants to carry the product, go ahead and fucking, I'll create an email address and put it out on social media so you guys can reach out and give us your contact info. And once we're set up here, we'll go ahead and get that set up as well.
Yeah, because we're going to have a live like seltzer party for it once it is out and it's everything. So in 2 weeks, Dan, we get the final test, the final carbonation with everything in it, all in. And then what they do is they take that into the some fucking regulator and they've got to test it and do like a heat test and all this other shit. Yeah. And then you're approved and we're good to go.
Yep.
And the back end will work like a website. So you'll be able to, you know, buy it to ship and all that other stuff.
Yeah. We'll have a retail and a wholesale site. So if you're a bar owner, you'll have a wholesale account. If you're a fucking, just a regular dick like us, you'll just buy it and have it shipped directly to your house either way.
Yeah. Yeah. 8% is what we landed on, by the way. So we were a little short on 7.6. I guess the max you can have in a store is 8. So we said, let's go the full Ocho.
Yeah. We're going to have to think of a fucking good name for it. I think the full Ocho might be it, but we'll see.
Grab yourself an Ocho. We'll see. Yeah.
Grab yourself an Ocho. it sounds good rolling off the tongue.
It is. So. And I asked Doug and the boys from Tactical Brewery today, down in Orlando. I said, because they're working on 3 more flavors for us to test live on air, right? One is called the Pogue, and it's pomegranates and agave and something else in it. I forget what the O stands for.
So that's going to have more of a tequila feel to it then.
Yeah, I think it's got like maybe a pomegranate, orange, and like agave or something like that.
I've had some of those agave.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Passion fruit. That's what they said. Passion fruit.
I've had some of the agave-based ciders. They're not bad. I mean, ranch water technically is an agave-based cider, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're working on a ranch water right now. We'll see how that turns out. But as long as we lock in 4, we got 3 locked in now. The lemon lime was a big fan fave if they dialed that up. So they're working on that. They're working on the Pogue, and I think there's one more.
The peach habanero, both good. But you're talking about new ones, right?
Yeah, so we've locked in the peach habanero and the strawberry shortcake are locked in. And then we're going to try to lock in 3 more with lemon lime. I'm excited to try the Pogue one, and then there's one more.
Do you think we're going to run into legal issues if we call the lemon lime one the Sprite Claw?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. I mean, I did invent the goddamn word. I'm just saying.
You did, and people are doing it, by the way. So, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, shit, I was surprised when I was on this phone call. They were like, "Yeah, you know, we could ship it to bars," and I was like, "What?" And they were like, "Yeah, you know, if a bar wants to buy it, like, you can just put kegs in there and bars." And I was like,
"Yeah, for sure."
God damn, that's amazing. I had no idea how that works. I'm learning. We're learning as we go on this one, but it's fun as shit. I'm excited to taste the next batch. Craig Dulesky was asking, he was like, "Hey man, will there be any for my wedding in October?" Now I think the answer is yes.
Probably. After
the phone calls I've been taking, like, shit. Yes, I think so. And I think, Craigers, if you wanted to, you could probably buy a couple kegs. Now, what will that do to a wedding? I don't know. With everybody drinking 8 hard 8 seltzer, people be really fucking rocked.
Yeah, but you know, you're supposed to be rocked at a wedding reception. Someone has just made a huge mistake in front of all their friends and family, right? And now we're all mourning. That's what the reception is all about. It's not a celebration. Come on. But we are going to try to go.
Look, man, we had, yeah, we're going to try to go for sure. I remember when we did that hard seltzer challenge night, dude, mm-hmm. I was rocked afterwards.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's strong. There's no question about that.
We're going to eight, yeah, and I'm ready to rock. Yeah, I'm ready to rock. So yeah. Things are going good.
Yeah.
Just a quick update. Things are going good. With it, now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. Again, submit that to drinkingbros.com. And while you're there, there's some sweet merch, but there's a nomination form. You fill it out, and it comes directly to us. We do not filter these. We just pull them up live on air, and whatever happens, happens. This one is submitted from Jared Cannon from Indiana. Has been a member of DB for 2 years, and he's nominating Charles Cannon. Reason for the nomination, my dad joined the Army in 1971 and transferred to the National Guard, stayed in for 22 years, also worked a full-time job as maintenance at a steel mill for 30 years. He was the best dad to me and my sisters could have ever asked for. He gave us everything we ever needed. Unfortunately, after fully retiring, he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it's really hard for all of us, and it's not fair to him. Because he worked so hard for all those years and now can't enjoy it. When he wakes up from 7 a.m. till 10 at night, he has to take several pills every hour on the dot. He can't drive, he can't ride his motorcycle, and can't hardly do anything he used to enjoy. Just goes to show sometimes the worst happens to the best. Cheers, fuckers, is what he says. Absolutely. And cheers to you and your dad. Parkinson's is something I know a little bit about. It was in my side of the family, my grandfather and my father. My grandfather ended up passing away from it. I will say this. He lived a long life. Now, whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I can't tell, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
he did live till he was about 88 with that. And then my father had some mild symptoms of it, but then it ended up passing away from something completely unrelated.
Right.
At a younger age. So I never got to see the effects of what it did to my dad, but I can imagine it's a nightmare. Yeah. The shitty part about this, man, you work fucking 30 years in a steel mill.
Right.
And then you get Parkinson's, like, come on, man.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it just illustrates a point. Look, some people live crazy lives and do all sorts of fucked up shit and end up living for 110 years. You know, you never know. Seize the cart, bro. I mean, you got to be on it. Live your life. Don't plan for tomorrow, but don't count on it. It's a good lesson to learn. We only have the time we have. I say that all the time. The time is the only resource you can never get back. I can make more money. I can make new friends. I can do any of that shit. What I cannot do is make more time. Don't waste your time on stupid bullshit.
Yeah, and I probably have that conversation with people once every 2 or 3 days. Time about time, man. The shitty part about it for me, I don't know about you, man. I realized it at a young age how valuable time was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what has haunted me forever.
Well, it doesn't haunt me. I feel like more in control now that I have all the facts. Frankly, I mean. To me, it would be not knowing is feels haunting. Like, I guess not knowing when you're going to die and how much time you have left can be a problem. But I know that every single second of my time right now is under my own control. And that's what we do in the beginning. And we do the same thing with our health. But in the beginning, we sacrifice our time for money and we sacrifice our health for money. And then we spend our later years spending our money trying to buy back our time and health. Maybe that's just how life is. I don't know. But it does seem like we should develop a better appreciation for the time we have at a very younger age than we do right now.
Man, my problem was I knew in my teens, to be honest with you, like people said it. And then I remember going to something that was really fun, like a high school party or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Something trivial. And, you know, it goes until the sun comes up and then it's just like, well, shit, everybody's got to go home. Right. And it was just like, that was the best time ever. I don't know if I can replicate that thing or whatever. And everybody else had said time is the most valuable commodity we have. And I kind of applied it to that. My problem was why it haunts me all the time is knowing it from such a young age, when people waste my time, I have no fucking patience for it. I have no fucking patience for like waiting in long lines or other stupid shit that is like with the COVID thing, man. It's just such a waste of time to me with the the rules and regulations and the people bickering at you for different things. Right. And it's like, I feel like because I knew it from such a young age, it has bothered me forever because no one else does. And therefore I've got to fucking deal with their stupidity of not knowing how valuable time is. And it's just all being wasted right now.
Well, I think time is just a symptom, right, of the real problem. The real problem is that people don't respect one another. So here's an example. It is generally considered common courtesy if you're in a vehicle to stop and let the pedestrian go first. But a vehicle moves much faster than a pedestrian, right? So why wouldn't the pedestrian stop for efficiency's sake, especially if there are no other cars around? If I see somebody walking through a crosswalk and it's just me and there's nobody behind me, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Wait and let me go like at 60 miles per hour while you walk at 3 miles per hour. Why the fuck is that? Does it make sense? It's because for the same thing you're talking about, people just don't respect one another. You know what I mean? And it's easy to get trapped in your own life. Like, this is all my experience and this is how the world is, but that's not how the world works. There's a bunch of other people out there, 7.5 billion, and they all have their own unique individual experiences. And we need to fucking figure out how to find the greatest common factor in our experience. And the greatest common factor for all human life is that it ends, which means we have a finite amount of time, and time is the only resource you can't buy back. That is the thing that unites us more than anything else. So when somebody, I agree with you, when somebody wastes my time and I feel like it's intentional, that makes me angry. I mean, I say it all the time. People are like, even in regular conversations with people I like, people, they'll open up the conversation with a bunch of preamble. I'm like, skip it. If I have questions, I'll ask later. Get to the fucking meat and potatoes. Let's move this conversation along. And, you know, maybe I seem like a dick, but it's my time. It's the most valuable fucking resource I have. If somebody came into my fucking cabinets and started snatching food out of it, I'd be like, hey, slow the fuck down, bro. It's my shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
I was on a call earlier with some lawyers who were trying to fuck us over in Alabama, right? This is a story I'll get to, well, one day, maybe soon. We'll see. We'll see how they play it. And the end of the conversation was, well, you guys have the money. You can fucking pay for this, right? And I said, it's not about the money. It's about the time. And right now, there's been an incredible amount of time that has been wasted on stupidity. And now, because of how angry I am that you wasted my time, I would rather spend every waking second on air just burning your company to the fucking ground. For that exact reason, because you didn't value time when you should have. And nothing makes me angrier in this day. I'm sorry I got off on this fucking rant about it, but fuck me, man. Just reading that, like, I totally understand what you're saying, man. And it really is. Time is the very, very most fucking valuable thing we have on this earth. I am sorry about your father. And shit, man. We're amped that you listen to the show.
Yeah, and all you out there, you maybe have a dad, maybe you don't, maybe he's gone, maybe he never was there, but there's other people in your life, right? And their time means something too, and your contribution to their life makes it easier, which makes them enjoy more of the time they have. So, you know, be nice sometimes, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to get preachy because I'm kind of a dick myself, but try to do something. It's one of the principles of American Party. I'm going to do something today to benefit my fellow man or my country, right? Do it every single day. Find a way to help people every single day. Don't be a cunt.
And I think, man, that's like the fight to be the richest all the time, or be rich for a lot of us, me in particular, I guess, over the years, is so that I can buy my way out of stupid shits just so I can have more time to do things that I really love. It's not really about the fame or the, you know, to say I have $6 billion or something like that. Like, and I'm definitely not going to do whatever Bill Gates is doing with his bullshit.
Yeah.
But it's mostly for my own time and my family so that I can cut out the meaningless fucking moments that are taken by other people's stupid shit. For real. It sounds odd, but it's true. D'Anthony, I enjoyed today, man. What a weird show on a Wednesday.
Yeah, well, it's Wednesday, right? It's hump day.
People were asking about that pedophile hunter hat next to you. Are those for sale on the website?
No, but there's a giveaway going on. Our social media lady is going to post something about it here on the main page in the next few days. But basically, we're going to do a giveaway, and I'll sign some of these and send them out to you guys. So there you go.
Hopefully one of the giveaways is rating and writing a review of the show on iTunes. That really helps us with the advertisers and staying on the charts and all that other stuff. It's a big deal. So if you could hop on over there and do that, we'll give away a hat to the best review on there, and we'll have Danny take care of that. Otherwise, we got fake news tomorrow. I will be back into the studio in Texas next week. And we have some big announcements coming up next week as well that are fucking awesome, and we're amped to share with you guys.
We're also doing at 4:30 or so Central tomorrow. We're going to do the baseball preview show. It'll be myself, Bob, and Ben Verlander, and John Brinkus doing that.
Okay, cool. And then, cool, man. Shit, if you want to move news up, we can, because that's going to be a big show for you guys.
No, it's fine. It's already scheduled where it is.
Great, man. I'm looking forward to that. Should be a fun year in baseball. Glad fans are back at the games. I am still denouncing the Atlanta Braves, so don't say on your fucking show that they're going to win the World Series.
We'll see. I don't think they're going to win the World Series, but they've got a good shot.
Oh, God. Does Hot Bob think they're going to win?
Braves all the way, baby. Hurt me. Hurt me bad.
I can't do it to myself anymore, and I won't do it. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.